special edition of Nota Bene. Nate, what is going on, my dude? Oh, I'm sorry. Unfortunately, Nate could not join us here. We're recording live here in beautiful Basel, Switzerland, where we all miss Nate very much. But luckily, I'm joined to try and, no one can fill his shoes, but to try and sub in to tell us what he's been seeing and what's been going on in the arts here in Switzerland is none other than James Michael Cardoso Schaefer. Hi, James.
Glad to be here.
It's great to have you here. I'm so happy that you were able to fill in. Unfortunately, I've been asking Nate about if he's booked his hotel room for a number of months, and evidently he didn't get it in time because they're all sold out. Mm-hmm. He was not able to join us this year. We miss you, Nate. I love you, buddy.
Miss you, buddy.
But we're here, and we want to tell you all about our European adventures. We'll get to the fair, which opened yesterday, Tuesday, in a minute, but I know I started out in London. You were in Paris for a few days. What brought you over to Paris specifically?
Specifically, just the fam. You know, my wife lived in Paris for 15 years. We wanted to bring our twins over because it was just easier to bring them here than to leave them in what was, at the time, the inferno that was New York City.
The gray and funky. Yeah,
we got out in the nick of time, just like that scene from Independence Day. we were in Paris for 4 days. We had a mixture of work and pleasure, visited a few museums, visited a few galleries, but also did a lot more shopping and a lot more eating.
Better city for that than Basel is.
It's like the most overrated, underrated city for that.
I was there. I'll get there in a second. First, I was supposed to leave last Tuesday to get to London to deinstall a couple pictures and see some shows. Unfortunately, United Airlines, my airline of choice, kind of screwed me over. My 11 p.m. flight was canceled while I was in the lounge. I was able to get on an earlier flight that was also delayed, but downgraded into the into coach, which was fine. You know, I immediately was like, I just need to get there.
Were you flying out of Newark?
Flying out of Newark.
Is that your personal favorite choice?
It's the easiest to get to. I don't live in Brooklyn. It's way faster to get to. I think when you move, you'll find the same. And I like United. They usually treat me very well. Run to this other flight, which is delayed, and I'm put in economy. I'm not going to drop his name, but because I know he listens, but a very prominent art dealer who works at a gallery that have spaces in London and New York, as well as a third city on the continent, has also been downgraded to coach. He, like me, is taking it fine. We both went and bought neck pillows. Like, I'm down for it. Sit on the plane for a couple hours, having trouble closing the door. Someone a few rows up has a serious medical emergency.
No.
It seems stroke adjacent, like doctors run up and nurses.
Oh,
they're
my God.
Giving oxygen, the whole thing. Wait for an ambulance. And by the time that situation is cleared, the pilots, unfortunately, were legally unable to fly. So they disgorge us back into the Newark airport at about 1:15 a.m. Takes an hour for me to get my bags back. I'm back on the island of Manhattan in my apartment at about 3.
No.
Not true.
That's fucking nightmare.
And so then I wake up the next day. The kids wake me up a few hours later.
Oh,
I'm in this
God.
Weird sleep deprived. It's all that yellow smog outside.
Oh, my
I feel
God.
Like I'm in a non-space, right?
Yeah,
I'm not supposed
to
be there.
Yeah,
but I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm like in this interstitial in-between
you
space.
You were in purgatory.
It was in purgatory. It was super trippy.
Oh, my God. United was your Virgil.
Yeah.
And that you were Dante.
Yeah, exactly.
Holy
anyway,
shit.
Get to London a day late. Luckily, the house manager was able to oversee the deinstallation of some pictures that are going to a museum show here in Germany. I saw every show in London. I don't even remember what I saw right now at this moment
in
time.
Did you see the show at Sadie Cole's?
I did see the show at
that
Sadie
show
Cole's.
Looked so fucking
it's incredible.
Cool.
It's all about kind of S&M and the
fuck
body.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a big fan of Lane Cameron Weir, so obviously that piece was incredible. But everything, a bunch of artists that are really outside of the mainstream.
Yeah.
Was it Bob Flanagan? Am I getting his name right? Who had a great show at Artist Space maybe 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Who was afflicted with cerebral palsy. I don't want to get this wrong, but some sort of I think it was MD.
Yeah,
And used really intense S&M rituals as a way to focus on the parts of his body he could control.
So fucking cool.
So intense. Great show. It was super. Izzy Wood has a fantastic new show out at Carlos Ishikawa with his painted furniture, and the first ever time she's publicly shown paintings of herself, from what I understand, with the gallery explained to me. Yeah, which were not. She's not putting them into the market. They're just for her. But it was a really, really cool. You kind of had her looking at you as you're in the space with this furniture. That was dope. Jacqueline Humphrey's shows, both in both of Stuart Shave's spaces, were superb. Everything else I saw was great too. Didn't make it to Chris Ofili, which I really wanted to see.
I heard that was phenomenal.
Those paintings
yeah.
look incredible, man.
Yeah.
It was too much. And it was a friend of the pod, Henry Alsop's 50th birthday out at a pub that his brother-in-law owns in Notting Hill, and that was a smash up, as you would imagine, as they say over there. 8 a.m. train the next day, Eurostar Express. That was a good time.
Yeah.
To the City of Lights. And Paris was great, man. I'd hardly did any art. Met up with a client. We walked around. We did some shopping, did some eating. Went to go see Lisa Yuskovich's new show, which was opening at the David Zvana Gallery. Mm-hmm.
I was following you like you were a ghost, you know? Like, I felt like I was like midnight in Paris, you know? And I literally went to a restaurant that you sent to a group chat of ours because I thought you were recommending it, and as much that you were actually just taking it to be funny, but it was fucking fantastic.
This is the Carbonis.
Carbonis.
The Jarbonis of the Jabonis of yeah, moved exactly. across the river to open up a Carbonis.
It was phenomenal.
Okay.
And then I brought it up with some people, some Zwerner people from Paris, and they were like, oh yeah, that's our favorite lunch spot.
I had no idea. I was just mocking it.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, I mean, I went in, Danielle was like, my wife was like, are you sure this is good? I'm like, no, Ben recommended it.
Shit, thank God it was good, man. Do not want Danielle
really,
mad at me.
I really put you on like the chopping block there, but you survived.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Her show was great, Lisa's show. They did a beautiful dinner in this back garden, and it's like a hunting museum with a private club.
Mm.
It specializes in hunting and sport pictures, but they have some contemporary art there because Sean Landers, who's good, basically the entire Yale class of painters that graduated that year, mm-hmm. they all travel around and support each other's shows.
Yeah.
So a whole bunch of people, and Sean was at my table, and I was like, yeah, I was at this museum all day because I'm doing a show in here of my new work, which will be hung with the hunting pictures, which will open during Paris Plus.
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 Mm-hmm.
I'll get the pronunciation eventually. So that was a cool dinner. Again, one night in that city, up early the next morning for another. Well, actually, no, that's not true. A friend of the pod, who I think I'll leave him name, that's a very prominent art advisor, was kind enough to invite me and my client to join him and some of his colleagues and a client of his to go on a before hours private tour of the LVMH Foundation to see the Jean-Michel Basquiat and Andy Warhol collaboration pictures, which is a pretty cool show. And it was great to be in that amazing Frank Gehry designed museum without, there weren't even any guards there when we first got there. We just like, guy basically had the key. We just like cruised in. It was pretty cool.
Love that.
Yeah.
Did you touch the paintings?
I didn't. I sniffed them.
That's good.
They didn't smell wet. They're pretty old.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to get into that show. We get a long pod.
That's a trick that all advisors do, by the way. It's an insider thing. You have to sniff the paintings. Yeah.
Some are more sniffy than others,
yeah,
James.
If you hear that in an art fair, they're sniffing the paintings.
That's why we have you on for that kind of insider knowledge.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that's, yeah.
No anyway, I should have stayed in Paris. I should have stayed in Paris and had a dinner or lunch at Carbonis with you. Instead, another morning woke up and went to got to the train station. Beautiful train ride
mm-hmm.
to Zurich.
Yeah, how was that? I skipped terrible. That this year. Really?
It was great. I mean, there was a couple, you know, the show, Maria Bernheim was really, really good. And of course, I'm blanking on his name. He's a friend of mine, but a great American artist has been living in Zurich for a long time. Those pictures were really nice. And these really weird installation, but everything else is garbage. I'm not going to single anything out for
right.
derision because I don't want to get in trouble. But like,
sure,
woof. Could have skipped Zurich.
Were there a lot of people there at least, or was it?
Honestly, I was like so tired after all that travel. I went to see the things,
mm-hmm.
And then I basically skipped out on my dinner, went back to my hotel room, got a cheese plate and a salad. And like worked on my Basel previews and like went to bed at 10 o'clock.
You had your little Sherman's march through Europe.
Yeah, I did. I did. And then relatively early the next day, en route to here in beautiful Basel, where we met up with you.
Yeah.
I got here Sunday and did some whatever, went to Basel Social Club, which you haven't been to yet.
I'm interested in your take. I really want to go.
It feels like Lista 10 years ago to me in terms of the energy
that
at the opening.
That fucking rules.
It does rule, super funky, smells really bad in there. Like, I'm not sure if they have a special tax on soap in this country or what, but it was stanky.
I mean, there already is, just like from an outsider's perspective, meaning I haven't been there yet. It does have a good like Manson family vibe, you know, like it feels like there's a commune there, you know. I know that Robbie, who runs a great gallery, Fitzpatrick, who's the organizer, curator of the event, is very, very specific on not saying that it's an art fair. It's not an art fair.
Sure. And it doesn't feel like that.
Yeah.
In good ways and bad ways, right? So it was a great way to view a lot of painting and cool sculpture. Great way to view it. These amazing, the volume of the spaces are incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, not even transaction. I saw a couple painters that were definitely new to me. And I definitely wanted to like click away with my phone to then do research later when I'm back home. Which
there
is something
go.
I do at art fairs. Like I take a picture of a painting and then the label. And then later I'm kind of downloading them.
Were there labels? Googling.
There were no fucking labels,
See,
bro.
That's a problem.
That was my only, other than the olfactory issue. issues. That was my only big issue with it.
Yeah.
But it's super cool. Went to that. That went late. I went over to the Byler for a little event that Sam Keller was hosting for some of the younger dealers. And checked that out.
May I say already, just as a maybe it's a little premature, best in show, one of the best in shows things I've seen is the flower arrangement at the Byler.
100%. I put it on my Instagram. So we'll circle back to the entire Byler, but I will speak about this.
This was
how they get those stems so organized in a circle. Is I need to learn how.
I mean, this is something that only the Swiss could do.
I mean, that flower arrangement probably costs 470 euro or Swiss francs. Excuse me.
I mean, at least. If that wasn't like a one of those like promised gifts that you see in the beginning of every museum, it should be by now.
Yeah, and the endowed flowers.
Yeah, and there were black flowers too, nonetheless.
Yeah, it was incredible. It was incredible. We'll circle back. I'm gonna get to when you got there and we can talk about the shows.
Yeah, sure.
You got in the next day on Monday, I believe. And
I had a very after shopping till I dropped. We shopped so much in Basel that we required to purchase a second suitcase.
In Paris.
In Paris. And we, for our kids as well, our kids left with, berets and, striped
little
shirts.
Rompers and whatnot.
Yeah, we also packed a mime in there. we took the train and dropped off the kids at a family friend's in Geneva. So
that's a very good family friend.
It's a fantastic family friend. And, they have children of their own, and they've been friends with my wife since they were kids. And it's incredible.
And they're like, yeah, just two more is no problem. Twins, we got this.
Who gives a shit?
What, 10 months old, if that?
9 months
old. 9 months old? Yeah, 2 9-month-old twins? Yeah, sure. Fine. Just drop them off.
Extremely, but, we're getting updates on WhatsApp. And so mom and dad are now in Basel. We got here at 4:30 p.m. on Monday, which is not ideal.
Yeah, that's a rough one because you're racing from the minute you get here, huh?
Literally, we got here and the first thing I had to sacrifice going to Lista on its opening day, and I went directly to Unlimited. After I, suited up, shaved, got there, it was sort of as the crowds were dying, so it was about 6:30 p.m. But it was actually kind of ideal because I wasn't in the full rush of everyone walking in, and I was able to get the opinions of all the people that I love and respect when they're walking out of what I should see.
That's smart. I had a slightly different Monday in that I woke up, did some exercise here in the hotel, and went to meet my friend Jesse at the Three Kings, where I gave her a Nota Bene hat with the Three Kings logo.
Oh, yes.
She took it to show to Dom, who's the big kind of major domo concierge on the ground level there, and he stays all night overseeing the madness that ensues. He loved the hat so much, I had to then leave, run back to my hotel, and get a hat for him.
Wow.
And get a waterproof bag, because I went back, grabbed Jesse, went and met up with Sabrina Buell and some other folks, went for a beautiful midday float down the Rhine.
May I tell the listeners that waterproof bag, its actual term here in Basel is the Schlagbog.
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 I got my Schlagbog, and we went for a beautiful float down the Rhine. We did a two-bridge float. It was incredible.
Phenomenal.
Just chit-chatting. The only problem was someone, I guess the Schlagbogs, is that what they're called?
Mm-hmm.
The Friedrich Petzl Gallery gave some out as gifts. Unfortunately, one of the young ladies that I was with put her phone and beautiful, I think, Cartier watch in there, and the Petzl bag didn't quite have the waterproof.
No.
Or we closed it wrong, which is equally possible. But, let's try not to read too much into this one. But we had a great time anyway. We dried off. I went back to the Three Kings in a t-shirt and my dripping wet workout shorts and sneakers. Sat on the terrace with a lot of bold-faced art world names and had a beautiful light lunch of salad.
Fantastic.
Saw everyone and then came back, changed, and went over to Unlimited, which I think we can both agree, not a lot of high points,
Not a lot of high points, I have to say. I mean, we kind of, before the pod, you and I briefly spoke about some of our highlights from previous years.
Yeah.
Some of the things that you had actually placed that were exhibited at said fair, such as the amazing Perino Christmas tree, which was, I believe, the same year, or was it not the same year that Arthur Jaffa showed?
I think it was the same year.
Same year. I mean, these are standout things. I was when Gianni Etzer was still...
I think it was better when Gianni was curating it. I never understood what curating a commercial art fair, even a segment of it, meant.
Yeah.
But it was clearly different there. I spoke to Noah, or I didn't ask him, but someone very aggressively was speaking to Noah about this last night.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, it's just a function of the market, really. But I think the curator does have something to do with it.
Of course.
It's not as dynamic for me as it used to be. I did like the Alex DeCorta. I really liked the Christian Marcolet film of The Doors closing. Mm-hmm. That was worth the time.
He did it again. It felt like an appropriate follow-up, like, single, you know?
Yeah. It's totally like, a single after the full album.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, man, do you like Clock? I got you.
I can see the trailer now.
Yeah.
I liked the... Corey Archangel quite a bit. It was a really aggressive piece using kind of AI technology to basically make the gibberish of the internet even more gibberish-like, but then present it back in what seems logical, but then you lose your mind trying to find any logic in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my one-liner. What else was there?
I mean, you know, there was like Felix Gonzalez Torres was there. There was a huge Gunther Ford painting that was like 40 feet long. There was
this... Yeah, but does that read any more interesting to you when you scale it up than a regular size Gunther Ford? It didn't for me.
That's the thing where it's just like, you know, he's a very commercial painter. You know, I really like him. I like his like donation to German art history, but I don't know if that really belongs in the curated section.
It was like tucked away in a corner too. It was like, you know, you could already see the lobby that it was meant to be in.
But there's also, remember like a few years ago, it was a Peter Halley painting that was really long that was in the same area.
Yeah.
There was that weird performance of men lifting sculptures.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like set up as a gym.
Yeah.
That didn't tell me anything about masculinity that I needed to know,
that
right?
That just made me feel like I wanted to go to the gym.
It wasn't all men, we should be clear. There was women and men.
Oh, there were.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, honestly, like it, nothing really.
I love that, and I'm having a blank. But the great Antwerp based artist who had a great The Mattress Factory, a restaging of a seminal work.
Oh, Guillaume Beige.
Yeah, I really like that. I like that practice. Yeah, no. I think that's important.
Yeah, that's
artwork.
Like a Meredith Rosen, Nagel Drexler.
Exactly. Like, and that's the kind of art that used to always be on Unlimited. It would be like a massive Honor Dar Boven installation
exactly.
or something like this.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
really significant.
The biggest
significant
Thomas Beiler
work.
Ever shown
yeah,
ever.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's the kind of stuff, not just like artists that are kind of scaling up their work or working in video.
Instead, you walked into the most appropriate metaphor to what could be the world and the market, which was a boat on fire.
Yet still
floating.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting to see our friends from Karma there because they did have an artist included.
I don't remember the name of the artist.
I just met him last night. Really, really
based
cool.
in Staten Island though, which is cool shit.
Yeah. What else? So that was Unlimited.
Yeah.
What did I do Monday night? Oh, there was an opening of Jordan Wolfson.
There was an opening for Jordan Wolfson and a party afterwards at
Le Trois Kings. Say it again.
Dry-conic.
Say it in French for me.
Le Trois. I guess. I don't know.
I'm never going to get there.
My wife's going to correct me on this.
Dry-conic is the best I can do.
But
the Jordan show was great.
I really liked the Jordan show.
I love those pieces.
Larry was sitting at the front desk.
That was amazing. I really wanted a photo. There was no way to take that photo. Keep my thumbs attached to my body.
Yeah, I was like, this rules. And then, just down
the
block.
He was in good spirits. I think he just loves Jordan, who couldn't be there because he's finishing a very significant new work for a show he's having in, I want to say, New South Wales. I might be making that up.
That sounds
I'm pretty sure I'm right,
right
though.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah,
so he had literally just finished rendering, I was told. I'm not sure what exactly that means. Couldn't get just couldn't be there. I think it was a missed opportunity for him. It's his first show in a Gagosian gallery worldwide. Great works, really buyable. But you had an interesting take on Twitter about this body of works concerning JFK Jr.
I'm not someone to cancel people. I don't believe that we should be, taking up a police state when we're trying to tear one down. But it's anti-Irish Catholic. And I feel personally attacked.
I think it's about you.
Yeah, it's about
you.
You
are the main character here.
I'm the main character here. And, JFK Jr. is, they let the Pope in the White House and then the son became the scion for all Irish Catholics of the 90s to look up to. And gone too soon. Rest in peace. And here we are. He's just
left making, a beautiful corpse.
Yeah, making a
beautiful
Groucho
boy.
Marx faces all over my Irish Catholic beautiful boy.
Then Gagosian had a party. It was supposed to be a dinner. I knew it would be
a standing dinner.
A standing dinner. I was aware of that. It always is. They've done this party for a number of years. Super fun. Everyone was there.
Everybody was there.
All the Americans that are in Basel, and we'll get to the fact that there are relatively few of them, they were all at that party. It was great to see everyone. About 400 Gagosian staff members are included. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there was zero food that I could find. By the time I got up to the dinner buffet, I got a little bit of quinoa with some canned corn in it. That mm-hmm. was a charming dish. Really enjoyed that. Thanks, Larry.
I didn't eat because I was exhausted, and also this is a little known secret of Basel. The Thai food is exceptional in the city.
The Thai food?
And I ate a little Thai food. Yeah.
Yeah, you're a weirdo. I went to the lobby with a Gagosian staff member and some colleagues of mine, and we sat in the lobby bar and had 55 Swiss franc club sandwiches.
What?
Yeah, really good club sandwich.
55?
I think it was 48, actually. I rounded
it up. Man, that puts the Zabar's to shame.
100%. Great club sandwich. Wow. And it was great to be in the lobby. Everyone filtered in there throughout the evening, saw everyone, had some drinks. Relatively early night, as you're supposed to do, as I always try and do.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, you have to have an early night Monday night.
And was got in a good night's sleep. Didn't get a full workout in. Not a big fan of the gym here in the hotel. I did steal the yoga mat to bring up here to do some calisthenic type things. Right on time. I showed up into the Mesa Plots about 9:45. Had my colleague Daisy holding a spot at the very front of the line, so stepped in front of a whole bunch of very unhappy Amazing. Europeans, and walked in to the brunch with about 5 minutes to go, and was able to zip right into the fair.
What was your first stop?
We stopped by the amazing booth of Laura Owen's new paintings at Sadie Kohl's.
One of the best booths in the fair.
I was trying to do some business there. It was a great booth, perfectly installed. They have this corner painting that looks like it's somehow painted on the wall. I'd be like, why would you do that? Mm-hmm. It's actually built into the booth virtually seamlessly. Mm-hmm. And like different works of different scales and mediums by Laura. They are swapping out a lot of the paintings over the next several days. Mm-hmm. Really incredible. So that was my first stop. And then spent the majority of the first 3.5 to 4 hours upstairs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I started downstairs.
Woohoo! Aren't you a big money daddy?
I mean, to be fair, I mean the thing is that you know we're both here as advisors, but you know shopping for people that are not here.
Yeah, I should be clear. None of my clients took the trip over. There are very few Americans, so I feel okay about that.
Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm also waiting during those 4 hours. I'm upstairs. I'm just waiting for people to wake the F up.
Exactly. That's the thing. You are a victim to the globe.
Literally.
For once in our lives, we wish that the world was flat.
Yeah, I'm still not certain it is, but it's a different podcast. So I had to wait. So walked around and kind of was talking to people, though, confirming holds. Mm-hmm. It felt with that time distance, and maybe it's because I think both you and I have really established relationships and a track record with the galleries we're doing business with. The pace of things is a little bit slower in that they're willing to let things see how they play out.
Oh, you should never a reserve on the first day of an art fair is usually verboten.
Yeah, it's usually until the first hour I try and cancel them before, you know. If I'm in line and I don't have the client saying yes, I'm texting them to release the hold.
Let it go.
This time I kept them, you know, some of them on, the ones that I thought were active and had discussed with the clients. Mm-hmm. Checked in with the galleries, let them, you know, it's always important to be transparent and very communicative with them about where you are. And they were perfectly happy to see how business played out over those first hours, thankfully. But I think in general, conversations were taking longer to come to a close in order to close deals across the value band. I mean, quicker for younger in-demand things less than $1 million with a waiting list were obviously selling very quickly. Mm-hmm. But above that level or things that are, you know, not as in demand, it was like a slower conversation. People are looking, thinking about their collections. I think it's healthy for the market. Isn't real comfortable for those of us that are used to a bam, 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 go, go, go kind of art economy. But I think it probably makes for better long-term decisions for collectors and thus more secure placements for the galleries over the medium to long-term.
No, 100%. I think the other thing, too, is that it also erases, from an advisor standpoint, post-sale anxiety, you know?
Yep.
Because it's like these long conversations. You're having... everyone's on the same page, and then you don't also in the same way that if you don't feel like you're participating in a purchase that might be an impulse buy, you know. So you know that this person everything is very considered, everything checks all the right boxes. And on top of all that, it also, as far as knowledge base goes, helps us as advisors understand the market a lot better. Yeah. For instance, I would say a really good example is that you would have all these Scullies, all these Sean Scullies up, you know, some of them at other galleries were 1.5, 1.7. Whereas you could find clearly at auctions, you know, things that are just like they're a million or they're 900.
That's a big difference, James.
That's a huge difference. And then if you're able to get primary access to these things, which are, you know, 875, 975, it's just a great example where it's like if you work with a good advisor and you're able to get primary access, there's no point in trying to measure your dick with some other guy holding up a paddle at Sotheby's in November.
Yep. Yeah.
On top of that, I just want to go down to like why I started in the downstairs. Everything that I had like pre-sold, like I had no conversations going into this of things that were on hold. I had pre-sold most of the things. So that meant I wanted to go in and really wanted to gauge the market, which is why I started downstairs. And I had the best fucking time. It was so quiet because no one was rushing around to look at these Otto Dix paintings of a prostitute over a sailor's face. I found early Tatsumi Kudo sculptures for, you know, if I was a collector, I would buy them right away. Amazing Keith Haring's works on paper and on canvas at very considerate prices at galleries that we've never heard of from towns in Germany that we can't pronounce.
Yep. That's why we love, hold on, that sentence is why I love the Basel Art Fair.
Yes.
Are those towns in Germany we've never, galleries we've never heard of and towns in Germany we've never pronounced. That for me is the heart and soul of this fair and what sets it apart from any other art fair.
It was great. And to be honest, it was like after going through that and really spending time in their places that I, you know, a part of the fair that I never really indulged in the same way. And then I transcended to the Zwirner, the Gladstone, and the Gagosian. And then it really made me appreciate what those booths had to offer a little bit more because there was some context there.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I went upstairs, when it was actually much faster for me to walk around.
Yeah.
You know? And I would have to say that, like, you know, there was a moment where I was in the Zwirner booth. And I'm looking at the Joan Mitchell and I was like, you know what? Like this is sort of like how I probably should tour clients in the future is like going not for the big names, but going from the historical work and bringing them to, you know, the more contextually important work.
Yeah, no, if they have the patience for that, I think that would certainly be in an ideal world. Let me know how that goes next time.
But don't we live in an ideal world here in Basel? Isn't that what it is?
We're living in the Swiss fantasy land, right?
Yeah, this is the Swiss...
Where sandwich costs 48 francs.
Switzerland is a fantasy land.
It is a fantasy that they've constructed, and we won't get into the historical reasons of how that is. It's a little bit uncomfortable for everyone in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I cruised around. There was like, you know, I spent most of the time upstairs, long conversations with people and really learning about some art that I'd seen but didn't quite get, you know, what the context was. I don't have any notes in front of me. I think it was a lot of stuff that I've always liked, but I was able to get some deeper understanding about it. I mean, thinking about Isa Genskin and her family history a little bit more considered when you're looking at her work and the violence that's inherent. I thought that was really, really interesting to me.
Did you see the Isa Genskin sculpture that was right in front of the Majerus?
Yes.
Fantastic. Sold to a museum.
Other highlights for me included, you know, speaking of Isa, a basic research painting by her.
Oh, my
which
God.
Which I don't understand why those aren't $2 million.
They should be.
Just incredible. And they're the kind of thing that you need to go and see with your own eyes in real life, I think, because it doesn't really play on images, I wouldn't say. Loved that experience, 100%. Other things that stood out to me on Laurent, you know, just a lot of I'm looking through my empty, I took photographs of all the stuff that I already knew that I loved.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. And I guess that's the other thing, too, is that there was a lot of waiting list fulfillment that was put on. You know, they weren't trying to, like, cast out a net to get new clients. They were trying to please waiting lists.
Yep.
I think one of the most impressive things I saw was the Heiji Shin birth photograph. That was the largest one she had ever done that they hung on the outside walls. Everyone was forced to look at.
Right next to the ladies' room.
Oh, my God.
It was super.
Great.
I love these photographs. Yeah. We both should have commissioned those when we had the opportunity.
I did.
You did? What?
I did. Yeah. So she agreed to do it.
But you didn't consummate?
Oh, I can't get into details. Okay. But yeah, so basically it didn't work out.
Okay. Well, you're cooler than I am. I didn't even consider it. But in retrospect, I really wish that I had.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at my images, you know, a lot of the same, but it was great just to see people and have conversations. I was interested in, you know, there's a couple of nice Melvin Edwards sculptures, but at a gallery you wouldn't expect it at Bull Colts.
And, well,
I didn't know that until I was at the fair. That's the thing you learn at the fair.
That's the thing. And the prices were...
$175.
And they were $30K, like, what, 6 years ago or something like that?
Closer to $70K, but yeah, there's been a big jump in that market. But I don't know. I think they're still
kind of fucking awesome.
Undervalued. I don't know. If you get the money, you don't buy one of those. Well, I'm not sure if we should be friends.
those will be in a group show in Green Off Tolly this summer.
Oh, one other real quick other thing I liked at Unlimited was Stephen Scheer, a huge, huge wall of Stephen Scheer
Fuck
work,
yeah.
All one work. I'm there for that, die for it.
Yeah,
super. I'm glad he's finally getting the renown he has. I'm blanking on the name of this artist at Maxwell Graham that I'm a really big fan of.
Oh, God.
Okay. If neither James and I can remember the name, then it doesn't exist.
Yeah,
don't leave it. You don't want to say it wrong.
Yeah, I don't want
to. It's hard to edit out. I'll edit out us not knowing it. But Maxwell's booth was really sparse and incredibly strong. Mm-hmm. I like seeing certain artists. Sometimes you see an artist that's popping up in multiple galleries and it doesn't work for me. You're like, oh, these things are everywhere and they all sort of look the same. I caught four or five different William Sazonals at three or four different galleries.
Mm.
And they were all different, but all really, really, really strong paintings that I really liked. And of course, the highlight as always was, you know, having the white sausage.
I skipped that this year.
That's terrible.
I know. I just didn't want it. There was a moment and I just thought, no.
Yeah, I gotta be honest, I didn't fully love it.
Yeah.
I wasn't in the mood.
You get that taste in the back of your throat.
Yeah. It's a very specific thing. But I don't know. It's still a tradition and one that I will always, always, always have. But I was there I was there later than I ever have been in an art fair. As we mentioned briefly, many fewer Americans.
Not many Americans. And to supplement the lack of Americans was not a lot of Asians either. All those people have said that there's more.
I think
than
there are way more than there usually are in Basel, Switzerland for the art fair.
Yeah, but it wasn't like LA or...
I think by Swiss standards, it was pretty diverse.
Fair, okay.
I know, I did notice that. I've met a few people, you know, been introduced.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that's a narrative that's emerged that is true to a degree. Very few Americans, but tons of Europeans. And there's obviously the big European collectors that like we know their names of, but all these people that are clearly buying that I don't know.
I mean,
they're all dressed the same.
They all dress the same. I mean, it's a bunch of old white men with gray hair slicked back, wearing olive colored blazers with their hands behind their back, nodding their heads,
and some nice footwear.
Oh, they got great slippers here.
Yeah, the slippers are incredible.
I can't quote the Tom's quote from Secession like exactly, but like the only times I've ever seen boat shoes off of a boat looking good, Basel, Switzerland. Yeah.
Oh, look what I'm wearing. I also later in the evening, not during the fair, I'm obviously wearing sneakers at the fair, but
yeah,
for the evening where I definitely slipped into my American version of those slippers, which are the Stubbs and Wooten.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I thought that was an appropriate first night dinner choice.
I changed shoes halfway through the fair because the shoes I'm wearing right now were too white, and I felt like a clown.
Did you actually feel like a clown? Was it just because your wife had like put that thought in your head?
No, that was just total. Okay. Total. No, my wife was very encouraging at the shoes. But I did go to Lista.
Oh, I also went to Lista.
Yeah. There was a few standouts. I would say I want to give a good shout out to Jordan Bars.
Yep, booth looks great.
Really, her first fair ever, I think, really brought out, like, she showed her cojones, and like she brought sculpture and she sold well. Another big standout, Lucas Casso, Sweetwater. But then Diego Diaz.
Love that booth.
Rasul.
Yep.
Ashitare,
closer than I was gonna get.
Yeah, it looks like the word ashtray, but it's spelled. Mix up the letters.
Also shows with our friend in New York, Lomax.
Alexander Shulin. Fantastic work. Hot Wheels had a great painting. Paintings.
Is that the name of the gallery?
Hot Wheels, yes, because his name is Hugo Wheeler, and it's based in Athens. And he gets to play on his name. It's great. They're opening up a second space in London. My buddy Felix from Vienna also had a really good booth. Yeah, I mean, in general, I mean, you know, we both talked about this, like this panopticon setup of Lista is very efficient.
It's efficient for the viewer. I'm not sure how it works out for the galleries. You can really quickly breeze by and only have to enter and engage with those galleries,
and
which
you
actually
like
have an interest in.
20 feet distance from the entrance of
each
booth.
I'm so far out in that circle, bro. You don't even know.
Yeah.
I've been making very good use of the trick where I just hold my phone up to my ear and walk around so people think I'm on the phone, so I don't need to get interrupted in my thought process.
Oh, I look at my Apple Watch. I'm like, oh, we're talking. I gotta go. You know, it's like a beeper.
I can't believe you just admitted to that.
I don't give a shit.
I like the discretion of the phone to the ear myself. Yeah,
yeah, but what if your phone starts illuminating a little bit when it's up to your ear, so that everyone knows you're faking it?
And I did go downstairs, and there are some masterworks. I mean, that Joan Mitchell is an incredible painting. Mm-hmm. Incredible painting.
Edward Hoke Gallery has a photograph by Man Ray of a nude Merritt Oppenheimer.
Yeah, I saw that today, bro.
That shit, fucking art history.
There's a couple of good Merritt Oppenheims downstairs in the far corners that you can suss out.
Oh, yeah, there's a cup.
Yep.
Cup. There's a fantastic Peter Saul at Michael Werner. Mm-hmm. Very early one. Doesn't even look like a Peter Saul that you would imagine.
Yeah, no. It was great to see where the genesis of the work comes from.
Yeah.
Such a Michael Werner thing to have.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, even if they don't sell it, like, good for them for showing it. What else? I had a few highlights. Oh, there's a really wild David Hockney early painting that was really nice. And I also want to give kudos to the Statements crews that showed up. Congratulations to Broadway Gallery, friends of the pod.
Big friends of the pod.
Winner of the prize.
Yeah, I forget what the name of the prize is, but Sky Hupina, mm-hmm. a great filmmaker and artist who they were showing, won a huge prize, best booth in the fair. Mm-hmm. Also, those guys looking very trim, both of them. Lots of running going on. They've been going for a run every single morning. Here, I guess along the river. I don't know where you run. That's a great question I didn't ask.
Yeah.
They might be spending enough time together. If I were them, I might need a little separate
headphone
time.
Action.
Yeah. Huh. Well, I know Pascal does not use headphones when he runs. He likes to just be in the moment.
That's American Psycho shit.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of get it. Yeah. I couldn't do it, but I get it. Yeah. It ain't me. Good for you, bro.
Respect it.
Yeah, and then I was at the fair super late because finally LA woke up around like 5, 6 o'clock
Everyone
time
was for
here,
LA to wake up.
And like then I had to run around and start reconfirming things, mm-hmm. confirming things that had been on hold like all day long, mm-hmm. Which was a nice feeling, but still a little bit last minute. I didn't leave the fair until 7:12 or something like that.
Wow,
yeah, that was Monday. Crazy for me. On Tuesday. Got back here, like literally thought I would have time to like chill and do emails. Didn't. I had like 5 minutes to change into my dinner gear. Mm-hmm. I went right to the Kunsthalle restaurant to see people from the fine art group to have a drink with them before their dinner there. Mm-hmm. Went to have another sparkling water at the Societe dinner that they do every year at that great huge food hall. Mm-hmm. Like a dinner for like, I don't know, 350 people,
yeah,
it seems like.
Lot.
It was packed.
Yeah.
It was like beautiful tables. And then finally ended up at a restaurant I've never been of, don't remember the name of. The food wasn't the reason we were there, shall we say, for an amazing dinner that Sadie Coles threw for her artist, Laura Owens.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a great dinner. Everyone was there. I sat with my friend Meredith. Eleanor was there. Shane Aykroyd was across from me. I'm blanking on her name, but the proprietress of Soft Opening Gallery in London and her artist who has a show at the Kunsthalle Museum, which I haven't seen as of yet. James has a pained look because he's also blanking on it, but they were awesome.
Yeah.
Such cool people. And like, it was so, Sadie's so cool. Like, she was down sitting with them and like was talking about how great that project was and how great that booth was. And like, I don't know. I thought that was really, really.
Sadie's super cool.
Yeah. It was a special, almost familial feeling dinner.
Yeah.
Lots of them, you know, lots of American art advisors were represented around those tables, myself least of all, but it was great. Everyone was having a good time. We were there till like 11:30, mm-hmm. and then pieced out back to the Three Kings. You know, the hats helped me. I wasn't wearing it, but the gift of the hats.
I realized that this is a
jumped the line, and literally, ladies and gentlemen, everyone was there except Nate Freeman. Yeah. Like, it was like, it started out not so packed, which is nice, bopping around. I was sitting with Brendan and Shanisha and some other people. End up hanging out with Loic for a bit. I mean, every like kind of like everyone
Didn't
you think of as being there.
Did the bartender even ask where Nate Freeman was?
Yeah, he, where's your buddy?
Shit.
Yeah, he's missed. We miss you, Nate. But everyone, and I was there, you know, stone cold sober, but like feeding off the energy of the room until about 1:32 in the morning. It became a madhouse, obviously. People like just on the couches. Good luck getting out onto the balcony. Just absolute wonderful pandemonium. People hugging, you know, just like, you know.
That's fantastic.
People reconciling, people fighting, all the gamuts of human emotion. It's really quite a scene. I've always felt like Tina Barney should go and maybe shoot a day in the morning tonight of people that are filtering through that hotel 100%. Lobby during the art fair.
Yeah.
You see them all. And then I had a nice walk home.
Man, yeah. I mean, I had to go to bed early last night because I had a big morning this morning with Rob Teeters.
Papa Robbie.
Bobby Robbie. Another Midwesterner, art advisor.
Another nice person.
Another nice guy. And we were going to go to do a little museums. We did Beiler first.
Beautiful. We can talk about that. It's, I mean, the most beautiful museum in the world.
Most beautiful museum.
And next to Louisiana.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's right.
Which is what Beiler was often, in many ways, based upon its setting in nature.
The Baltus painting, which is about like 10 feet by 10 feet there, was phenomenal. The Rousseau painting, obviously, the water lilies, everyone talks about that. All good. Basquiat show, I didn't care.
I mean, those Bolzano paintings are very specific. He was supposed to, Jean-Michel was supposed to go have a show. They didn't ship it or something. Times like, oh, just make them here. They bought him all these canvases, pre-stretched, huge, horizontal. But it's a great Basquiat year. It's 83. I hope I'm right about that. I'm pretty sure I am. But he ends up like he can't really get access to usual materials. He's using like house paint, so there's a different luster to the images. I think some of them are super strong and iconic.
There were a few that were
a lot of them have been traded around over the years, so they aren't fresh, but they've never been and they actually didn't end up getting shown together in Bolzano. Like things fell apart.
Okay.
So this is really the first time they've all been assembled, I believe, together and shown. So there's something special about that. I love like paintings with cows, and then you can look out and if you're lucky, see some cows in the field.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, I think they're spectacular.
There's the Babadook painting.
Yeah, Doris Salcedo is like a very specific taste, I would say. I think it's important work. It's work that is, you know, deeply emotionally resonant, but like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not there for it.
Yeah, I can.
I've had people yell at me because I said, don't like that. And someone's like, it's so amazing. It's such an important show.
Yeah, I get it. You know.
Yeah, it is amazing. It is important. The water piece.
I mean, you start with Joseph Beuys and you end up somewhere there. And, you know, if you want to start with Joseph Beuys.
But with some mass political murder, like kind of, you know, interceding.
Yeah. Fuck it.
Yeah, great.
Not
but
for me.
Did you have lunch? Did you guys have lunch on the lawn there?
Well, no, but we did go and we attempted to. Go initially to Schraulanger. And we got there at 11:15 and they wouldn't let us in. And you said earlier, and I agree with you, the rudest, most hard-ass staff for any museum, private or public, on
the most
planet.
Unwelcoming people I've ever encountered in a musicological space.
Jesus, the Schraulanger, like they were like, no, you can't be here because there was a brunch.
A UBS brunch or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, we weren't invited. We're not billionaires, so we weren't invited. But you're in the middle of nowhere.
There's nothing around there. It's like the industrial ass end of Basel.
Yeah, you're literally like, you might as well be in where I come from. And so luckily there was a taxi driver that was driving by. And although he didn't want to pick anybody up, I was able to bribe him in German for 10 euros to bring us to a place where we could just chill out for 45 minutes before we could go in. And he said, and all this was in German, he was just like, I'm bringing you to the best coffee place. This is the best coffee place in all the world. You know, the Germans make the best coffee, a sentence I've never heard, you know, ever, outside of like a fever dream. And this man brought us to a gas station.
Oh, baby.
Yeah.
And we're not talking no Italian auto grill, neither.
No, but there was an Italian that was FaceTiming the entire time that we were there. So it did feel a little bit like we were in Sicily. But nonetheless, we ended up drinking the most milky macchiatos I've ever had in my life, enjoying my favorite cigarette, which I only smoke when I'm in this country, which is a Parisian cigarette. Fantastic tobacco. for 45 minutes catching up, you know, and we've really felt like we was like kind of like the beginning of our careers, you know. You know, here we are just like literally sitting on like plastic chairs outside of a gas station, smoking cigarettes, drinking macchiatos, waiting to eventually walk 15 minutes over train tracks to go to an exhibition.
Don't they know who you are?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, come on. I mean, how many bilingual art advisors do you know? And eventually we got back to Schaulanger, and the exhibition was excruciatingly minimal, but there were a lot of good highlights. There was a Henri Salat video where they're playing Ravel, fantastic. There was amazing Peter Fishley sculptures that I really love and I think are underappreciated. Fantastic Robert Gober. Obviously, I have the permanent Robert Gober installation there. I ended up buying a Robert Gober book based off of the advice from Teeters because it was 50 euros there, 50 Swiss francs, 500 dollars back in America. So
should have brought six, man. You could have made a business out of it.
I know. I mean, this is probably the second hustle I have to have. But I would say, honestly, despite the fact that I saw masterpieces that people would be willing to give their left nut to see, my favorite thing of the entire afternoon was seeing Beatrix Ruff using a BlackBerry to take a picture of a Haimo Zoberdig sculpture.
Incredible. It was incredible, especially as one of the unkind facts of that museum is they will yell at you if you take a photograph.
Really?
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe not Beatrix Ruff.
Beatrix Ruff can get away with anything.
How does she still have a BlackBerry? I thought those were like bricks. Like,
I mean, it was one of those like ones that were like have the camera, and it's just like I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I was too stunned to take out my own phone and take a photograph of this moment, but it was gorgeous. Hans-Ulrich Obrist was there as well, sans backpack, but Christ. Roof with the BlackBerry.
Incredible, incredible. I think, you know, we should leave it there. We both went back to the fair today. I will say this about Basel. Mm. It's really the only fair that you need to go back to a second day. You can't catch it all to see all these little things. Obviously, the dealers swap out things to put on the booth that they've placed in the first day. So you see new things, but also just to hit up booths that you didn't get a chance to see and to get a chance to like talk with dealers. Less transactionally, perhaps, mm-hmm. but more long-term. I was doing research for clients, assembling lists of things we should look at in the future and begin to research. And I think that's a really important part of our job is not just, hey, you should buy this, but actually like begin to research a practice. Here's an artist we should think about. Let's have a conversation and 100%. The next time one's available. All right. I'm exhausted, man. The week's only kind of halfway through. There's more to do, more to see. Let's
There's
get back out there.
A lot more fondue to dip in.
Well, I want to have an ice cream. I want an ice cream cone. The ice cream this year over at the fair.
I'm lactose
fantastic.
Intolerant, but fuck it, man.
You still had that milky macchiato, baby.
Let's do it, baby.
It was smelling farting here. All right. That's it for us, man. Nota bene. Ow.